To the Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jules Serkin. And we've now got a whole theme of tweets going on about pigeon pie.
Oh, I do love
plus,
pigeon
plus
pie.
Plus a lovely gif of Muttley.
I know.
Courtesy of
great.
Athelbray.
Yeah, well done for sourcing that.
I want to mention this. The Business Bunker show is pleased to be sponsored by Spinnerjet. Spinnerjet are the facilities management company, commercial cleaning, grounds maintenance, jet washing, and much, much more. If you want to find out more, email info@spinnerjet.co.uk.
Protect yourself from scams. Oh, gosh, I'm getting loads of scams at the moment.
Yeah.
I had one telling me that to phone a number, M&S bank account.
Right.
I don't have an M&S bank account. That was a text. Protect yourself from scams. Stay vigilant about scams, which may mimic government messages as a way of appearing authentic. Search scams on gov.uk for information on how to recognise genuine HMRC contact. You can also forward suspicious emails claiming to be from HMRC to phishing@hmrc.gov.uk and text to 60599 and be cyber aware, they say.
Cool. I'm trying to work out what this is. Diamond Circle Weddings have got a thing going on. And they said, good morning, the countdown continues, and today it is 7 days until the start of the 12 days of Christmas.
Oh, is it? Well, I heard someone playing Christmas music this morning, and I thought, nah,
yeah,
too early.
Yeah, okay. Well, nice one.
7 days till
to the 12 days of Christmas.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm not sure I want to go out on the, is it the 3rd we're allowed out to shop?
Yeah.
It's going to be hordes, isn't it?
It's going to be what?
Like hordes.
Oh, hordes.
Once everybody's ready, they'll all be hoarding in shops, won't
they? I've got all my Christmas presents.
Yeah, I've got all mine.
Yeah. I had a laugh. Because my family in France can't come home.
Oh, you were doing your Amazon Francais.
Yeah, so I was doing my Amazon Francais deliveries. And I'm getting all these delivery notifications in Francais.
Saying non.
Yeah, well, no, but again, well, votre delivery. And the time, and of course the time's different as well.
And you see, because we're of an age, we don't really do kilos, do we?
No.
So you could end up with anything.
Yeah, exactly.
No, we do pounds and ounces, don't
exactly,
we?
Exactly, yeah.
I was trying to measure something the other day as my cleaner was suggesting something, and I went down with my tape measure, and, you know, she's 40, and I said, you do it, because I don't really do... I mean, what's that, 9 centimetres? I don't know what that is. I know what inches are. Mm. Even when I cook now, you know, I measure with tablespoons. You know, I know one heap tablespoon is an ounce, for example. I have no idea what...
Is that true?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Always has been.
A tablespoon.
Yeah, a heap. But
people get very confused between teaspoons and tablespoons. Yeah.
Yes, well, only fat people get confused.
No, well, hold on. I'll tell you a story. This happened like 40 odd years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was a long, long time ago when I was still a very, very young man. And I met this lady and we went on a date, right? And she invited me to eat at her place on the next date, yeah?
Al fresco.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Right, and she said, what kind of food do you like? And I said, I like really spicy food. And she said, oh, I've never really made spicy food, but I'll make you a chili.
Yeah.
So I went for this dinner, and it literally burnt my throat out.
Oh,
and I went, and she went, is that too hot? And I went, yeah. She said, I followed the recipe. It said 6 tablespoonfuls of chili powder.
God.
And I went,
that is outrageous.
Get the recipe. It was 6 teaspoons, yeah.
Well, even that's a lot.
And even that was a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she was looking for...
cooking a vat.
No, she was looking... It was a big vat. And she was looking for a hot recipe. And it was 6 teaspoons. But she put 6 tablespoonfuls in. Yeah.
Well, when I was in Espanol, we had a very cold spell. And it was just me and Shay, the baby then. He's 24 now. And I bought what I thought was tomato puree. And I made a homemade sort of casserole, and it was hot peri-peri chili. And I put the whole bloody tube in.
Yeah.
And we just, it was inedible. Just couldn't, you know, and we kept, I kept trying to pour yogurt in and it was, no, couldn't do it. But it's very, you have to read the label, but it was in Spanish, of course.
But people do get confused over teaspoons and tablespoons and dessert spoons and what's on.
Well, of course, if we had Chef Tim Hughes, he was just on Scoff and Quaff, he would tell us, because there is actually a dessert spoon, isn't there?
Yeah.
That you would use your dessert, your pudding with. But then there's a slightly bigger one that you might use, wouldn't you, for dishing up.
Or a soup spoon.
Well, a ladle.
Yeah. Anyway, enough of that.
That is how I like my portions.
I want to, just in time for Christmas, you can now pre-order your copy of Bird. That's the lovely Sarah Ann Lucas'
talking
new
of birds,
book.
Talking of birds.
Yeah. We've been talking of birds
like
all day.
I like what you did then, pheasant.
Her new book is called Seeking the Wisdom of the 50-Year-Old Woman, and you can order it now via her website, which is beautifulbravebody.com. Now, she did give me a pre-published copy of it, which I started to read, and I left in the studio, and somebody stole it, would you believe?
I know, that's outrageous.
I know. Anyway, I started to read it, and it's a really interesting book. So do go and buy it. It's a great stocking filler. Did you see what I did there?
Yeah.
It's a great stocking filler, Seeking the Wisdom of the 50-Year-Old Woman by Sarah Ann Lucas. Beautifulbravebody.com is the website to order it from. What you got?
Good one. That'd be a nice Christmas present, or, as you say, stocking filler. But I don't think people wear stockings anymore, Paul Andrews, unless, you know, going out. You know, you don't wear them at home, do you? Well, I suppose it could on a Friday night, you know.
I'm not even going there. There's so many ways you could go with that.
I know. It was like our oyster conversation. That was getting a little bit bit close to the flesh there.
Near the knuckle.
Yeah, near the knuckle.
The knuckle of the oyster, which apparently is the best bit to eat.
Yeah, and we've been throwing it away all these years. Do have a look at this. It's an exciting new initiative. It's the @ZC Social Media Growth Academy membership site. And the ZC Academy is led by the international social media trainer and consultant, Miss Zoe Cairns, and her team. And it's a training community for small businesses, entrepreneurs and social media managers. A membership site all about social media and digital. The academy is full of in-depth training, live Q&A calls, planning sessions and so much more to help you plan, create and grow your social media and get results. You can go to www.zcsocialmediaacademy.com. Talking about working from home, Shay is moving flat and he came home last Saturday and was working from home at hours in the office. And I needed to do some LinkedIn posts in the office. And I went in very quietly to my desk. He was on Gavin's desk and he was on a Zoom call. But, you know, Gav and I do that all the time. It's quite what we're used to now. So I just whizzed to my desk and he got very upset that I was in the office. He said, "Mum, I'm on a call." I said, "Yeah, I'm just doing my LinkedIn, you know, very quietly." And he said, "Mum, I'm on a call." I said, "Well, I'm not doing it. I'm just doing my LinkedIn." And he got very upset.
Really?
And I had to depart.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't doing anything.
You were dismissed.
Yeah, I was dismissed. Wouldn't like mind, but I'd bought him a Scotch egg from the local butchers.
Oh, I know that guy.
Do you?
Yeah, Scott.
I'm sure you fell for it, really.
Scott Chegg.
There was a
delay. Do you know what? I don't know what it was. Do you know, 20 people sent me that.
Yeah, it was doing the rounds on WhatsApp. I got it on WhatsApp and I just thought, I'll try with old Paul Andrews, see if I can snare him. But you weren't to be had. But it's quite clever, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know.
And I then got that from about 100 people as well on Facebook and things, DMs.
There's a Twitter account called Stan Said Airport, which you see what I mean? And it's a comedy account, and they do those every time. And, paging Mr. Sea Lion from the London Zoo. You know, they got.
See, I quite like that.
Yeah,
my little brain likes that. Kent Theatre has been given a £3 million cash boost, which bosses say saves it from the threat of permanent closure amid the coronavirus pandemic. And the government announced today that the Marlow Theatre in Canterbury will receive £2.99, but it is £2,000,099. You know, I'm very dyslexic. Or what am I called? I'm dyspraxic, aren't I?
You're dyspraxic, yeah.
So it looked like £2.99 to me, but I thought it's not going to get them very far. It's not even a ticket, is it? So it's million as part of its second round of Culture Recovery Fund grants. Well done. We love the Marlow Theatre. Oh, yes, we do. That's cool. Your cue to say, oh, no, we don't. I was doing panto then.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, if I'd slap my thigh.
I'll tell you what, I'll tell you what, I'm really upset. There's a rumour going around that Maidstone Council have pulled the funding for the Hazlitt Theatre in Maidstone. And I don't know if you know, I was a director of the Hazlitt for a short while we tried to engineer a management buyout, but they awarded the contract to a leisure company.
Oh, no.
This was quite a long time ago.
Who ran it to the ground, presumably?
Well, no, it's not that. It's the COVID that's killed it. That's really what's killed it. But I'm just really upset because it's a lovely little theatre.
Where did it get its name from? Because Hazlitt, as I know, is a really nice slice of meat. Did you ever have Hazlitt?
It's not spelt the same way, actually. Yeah, oh, no, it? Hazlitt, you're right.
It's quite nice.
It's like corned beef at Hazlitt.
Well, it's almost like a stuffing-y, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or pork with Hazlitt or something.
Yeah, yeah. But Hazlitt is spelt with an S, and the Hazlitt Theatre is spelt with a Z.
I'm quite hungry now.
But it's, he was a playwright.
Okay.
Yeah.
Victorian?
No, older than that, I think.
Elizabethan? Yeah.
Newer than that, I think. do you know what?
I fancy a Hazlitt sandwich.
Yeah. We caught up with Pipparus Philippaeus of Digital Beans. So let's hear what Pip had to say about digital marketing and the whole world of digital.
I call him Pip. I find it a lot easier.
Than Pipparus?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Philippaeus, I mean, you know, just makes you want to eat ouzo.
Anyway, here we go. Let's listen to Pipparus Philippaeus of Digital Beans.
Fabulous.
Whoops. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker show Pipparus Philippaeus of Digital Beans. Pip, good afternoon. Welcome back onto the Business Bunker show. It's an absolute pleasure to see you. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Paul. Good to see you again.
Yeah, I haven't seen you for ages. And I'm also trying to remember when you... I know Ben was on a few months ago, but I was trying to remember when you were last on the show. It's quite a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. We came over to the studio. I think it was with Ben. But yeah, that was probably... I mean, well, before lockdown, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, it's lovely to see you again. Why don't we kick off by you telling the listeners a bit about you and your business, Digital Beans, and then we'll move on from there into what you're actually doing.
Yeah, sure. So I head up a small digital marketing agency just outside of Canterbury, Digital Beans. We've actually just finished our 10th year, which is crazy because I think I probably met you... about a year into it all. So, we work with predominantly SMEs. That is our bread and butter on their digital marketing and web build. So whether that's an e-commerce web build or a brochure site, and then helping them with their campaigns, whether it's Google, Facebook, or any other networks. So,
wow, you made me feel even older now. 10 years. I tell you, when we first met, you were based in the Enterprise Hub up at the university campus in Kent.
Yeah, I was.
And I was swanning around doing stuff there with Stephanie Barwick, who was running it at the time. And that's where I first met you. Blimey, 10 years ago. Doesn't it go quickly?
Crazy, isn't it?
And you've got a family and everything since then, haven't you?
I do.
Yeah, how many have you got now?
Just two. Completed the set. I've got one of each, so
have
I'm
you?
Done.
Lovely. Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. And I hope they're all well.
Yeah, we are. Thank you.
Yeah, good. Okay. So, Digital Beans, you're a digital marketing agency based in Canterbury. You've been going 10 years. Great stuff. How have you found business over the last year? You know, we've all been through these lockdowns and pandemics and things like that. How has it affected you?
I think for us, I mean, it's affected us in a way that I could never have anticipated. Certainly for going into the first lockdown, I was prepared for all doom and gloom. And, you know, I was kind of keeping my fingers crossed that I'd still have a business by the end of it.
Yeah.
But actually, first lockdown, we're actually pretty strong. We actually beat the previous year's quarter. However, the what I didn't expect was, or didn't see coming, was the impact it would have later on. So, you know, obviously, although we were busy in there and billing and, you know, getting new business or signing off the business that we had before that, there was a slowdown in new requests and proposals coming in. So therefore, it had a bit of a delayed effect for us. So the summer was a lot quieter than it should have been. We had no new work to work on. And we were only just starting to pick up new conversations then. Lockdown V2, a bit different. First couple of weeks, much quieter. And then all of a sudden, it seems that the floodgates have opened again for some reason. And, you know, this week we're having to send out a whole bunch of proposals that I'm rushing around for. So, in summary, yeah, just unpredictable, really, is how I describe it.
It's interesting, isn't it? And it's been, you know, this is my view on it. Whether you agree or not is up to you. But one of the things that's come home to roost for me is how out of touch our politicians are with actually the reality of business. Because they make these decisions without realizing that there's a whole supply chain infrastructure around things. So they'll say, oh, we're going to lock down hospitality and we'll put some things in place for the hospitality industry. But they don't think about all the people that supply the hospitality industry. And also they do the, you know, they suddenly announce, right, we're going to shut down for 2 months or whatever. They don't think about the disruption to that, to pipelines, you know, a sales pipeline, because it's okay shutting down, but then when you start, you don't just start where you left off. You basically 100%. Got to start all over again.
Well, this is something that we're, you know, as you know, we've got another business with my wife, Simply Hair, which is, you know, supplies salons up and down the country, which has been massively affected. But it was only us speaking to Amy recently that she deals with all our imports and stuff that, you know, Felix though is completely gridlocked. So, because the government's got 11,000 containers of PPE equipment, and they've got nowhere to put it, and no boats can unload. So everything is delayed. So all these industries that are supposedly meant to be open, preparing, getting stock in for as and when we can start trading again, well, they've stopped all product coming in because they've got 11,000 containers left there, figuring out where to put them, which is just completely, you know, no one's even thinking
about
them. They're just, oh, well, we've got nowhere to put them. We just leave them there.
Yeah.
And the rest of us have to wait and figure out what, you know, when our stock's going to come and
It's crazy, isn't it? And as you kind of intimated, we don't know what's going to happen next. So trying to plan is really difficult.
100%.
But one of the things I loved in the first lockdown that you guys did is you immediately innovated in the first lockdown, and you were you looked at the retail industry that was the first one to be really badly hit, small independent shops, and you came up with a scheme for getting them online really quickly.
So you're referring to your local dot delivery, which we've still got running, you portray it really kind of like in a philanthropical way, but I was actually really concerned about how I was going to get my decent produce from the farm shop up the road and stuff like that if they were to shut. So it was way more egotistical than
it was selfish. You were being selfish.
I was there was no way I was going to get imported strawberries, you know, so So your local dot delivery. So we spun up that pretty quickly, and with the aim of, you know, trying to help these brick and mortar stores that have never even needed to worry about anything more than a Facebook page. How do you get them to shift and sell online? So that's what we offered. We offered essentially a solution, a watered down e-commerce solution, but you know, enough to get them on there. And we helped them, got the products on there, got them their payment details on there so they could take payments, and how they would do deliveries or collections with their customers. And I think we've had a good few dozen businesses, and they're still using it to this day. And there's a couple of businesses that actually during the first lockdown, it's what carried them through, to be completely honest. So it was good. It was good to see that, you know, there was a good number of businesses that got it, used it. And it wasn't even just in Kent, actually. It got further afield. We had all the way up to Warwickshire. So we had the Warwickshire Beer Company. They were very busy on there as well. So
cool. I mean, one of the many things I liked about it, and there was a lot that I liked about it, but one of the many things I liked about it is it kind of forced stroke handheld people into going digital that had really, really avoided it up until now. You know, because so many independent retail shops should have been online anyway, but tried to not do that because, like, I guess, fear of technology, worry about the costs of doing it, not sure how to do it. And of course, the lockdown made them have to think, and you guys came along with a solution that was really cheap.
Well, it's free.
It was free, exactly. You can't get cheaper than that. It was free, and it was a solution that worked, and you held their hands all the way through it, so that you ended up with these retailers that went, wow, you know, I'm online. And I fully expect them at the end of this to develop that further, yeah, into something more solid.
Yeah, I mean, and we've seen kind of everyone and different types of businesses use it. So we've got the guys that clearly now with lockdown V2 that are using it as an alternative to being open. Yeah. So they were trading during the first lockdown on our platform. Then they stopped. They were able to reopen. Now they're trading again. And then we've also got the guys that they used us as a temporary stopgap. So they invested in a site, but until that was ready, until that was all, you know, good for them to start using, they had our platform because we were able to get them live within 2 days to trade and fill that stopgap. So we had people where we were acted as an interim, and they then jumped ship and went to their own website, which is great. And we've also got the guys that have actually since February haven't stopped using us, whether they've been open or shut. You know, they're on there. There's orders coming through every day. So yeah, literally businesses are using it however they need to as that extra, you know, level of security and safety.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's cool. And, you know, all power to you for doing that, even though you claim to have done it for selfish reasons. Did you get your strawberries? That's the thing.
I did.
Excellent. Did. It was all worthwhile.
That's it. Exactly.
Okay. So we're now at lockdown two. Mm-hmm. What have you got planned now?
I mean, for us, a big push for this year, and not least from your local delivery, was realizing actually that as an agency, you know, looking back over the years, by far the biggest group of companies we work with in terms of numbers are SMEs.
Yeah.
Yes, you know, like a lot of agencies, we've got the bigger fish and, you know, the kind of like, you know, the accolades and stuff. But by far, they're the ones that we've worked with the most. It's also the ones that are most fun. You know, there's less bureaucracy. There's less people to jump through and get things signed off. So things move quicker. You know, the accounts team have more fun working with them. And ultimately, we're like, right, well, this is who we really want to help. Your local delivery was also a real nice feel good because you can see the impact, right? So if a small business, if you can take them from employing 4 people to 8 people, that's so exciting because they go to you, oh, like we're killing it, we're doing this.
Yeah.
And you feel, wow, like I've had a small part to play in that. Yeah. Whereas, you know, taking a Goliath of like 50 million and taking them to 52.
Yeah.
It's irrelevant.
Yeah.
Whereas if you can even increase, you know, a small business by £100,000, that's not, you know, that's amazing. So we've very much kind of focusing on improving our services and introducing new features around that to aid and go all in on small business. Because again, with COVID, it is a backbone of the economy. You know, we keep saying it, but now we're all feeling it, right? If the whole high street is shut, it doesn't feel good for anyone, and they're all more or less small businesses on there. So that's what we're going to all in on. And the thing we learned from your local delivery was that people are scared of risk. People don't want to take the risk more so now. And we looked over the 10 years of data we now have, and we're now saying, right, if you want to go ahead and you feel you've got that somewhat confidence to go ahead with some digital marketing, and you know, it's a good fit for Digital Beans, we'll now guarantee our work. So if you don't make back the money you're spending on us, we'll work for free until you do. Because you know, there's a lot of mystery in digital marketing. There's still a lot of businesses are scared of it, don't understand it. And more so at the moment, it's more so evident that all the risk falls on the business. So therefore, you know, if you are good at what you do, then why not put your money where your mouth is as well? So we're kind of, you know, splitting that risk with the business and saying, look, if we don't get you that return, we'll work for free until we do.
I think that's excellent for all the reasons you just outlined, Pip. You know, because people are reticent, aren't they? If you don't understand the market, you just don't know if you're being ripped off. You know, there's a lot of people that claim, you saw it in the early days with social media marketing people. You get people come along and go, we do social media marketing for you. And then they do it and you think, really? That's it, is it?
You
basically tweeted and put a Facebook post up.
And what's the value?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's understandable if people don't understand the industry that they're very reticent to spend money on it because they don't know what they're buying. Maybe it's worth you just giving us an overview of the kind of things that you think about in digital marketing, you know, what, you know, because it is a lot of people talk about, you know, content and how video is important and how this is important and that's important. As an expert in that marketplace, how do you see it?
I think one of the most important areas, and I've actually just got off a call literally about half an hour ago with a potential client where, you know, people, you know, we all know video is great. We all love watching video. You know, even if you don't invest in digital, people probably think that, yeah, I know and could guess that video is important and that kind of stuff. The things that I feel most people overlook now, especially with the experience now from your local delivery and everything from this year, is that is the numbers and the mathematics behind digital marketing. So, you know, they ignore things like your average order value. So whether you're in e-commerce, obviously it's very prominent and obvious if you're in e-commerce, but even if you're generating leads, you know, you'll have an average order value.
Yeah.
That number is critical at making a digital marketing campaign or any campaign a success or not, right? So if your average order value is 50p, no matter how good the digital marketing is, I can't make you any money on that because your average order is too low. And then, you know, the conversion rate from a lead to a sale, how good are you at closing? If you have 10 leads, how many of them are you going to turn into a customer, i.e. your average order value? So then you just need to multiply these numbers out and you can start figuring out what kind of return is realistic and what you need to be spending. So I think the biggest, to summarize and answer your question, I think the biggest thing that people overlook is the numbers behind it and what they can do to improve those numbers. How can I close more business? How can I increase the average order value and also the lifetime value? So once someone shops with you once or spends X amount with you this month, can they spend again next month? Do you have something else to sell them? When can they buy again? How do you increase that lifetime value? Because with digital marketing, we don't just want to buy sales today because that's a very short lived, you know, you're paying for every single sale. But one, if you flip that and you're actually buying customers, yes, their average order value for the first order will pay for acquiring that customer, hopefully. But what about next week? What about next year? How, you know, that's what we're buying. If you flip it and look at it as buying as customers, it quickly scales up a lot quicker.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right as well. I mean, in my work as an angel investor and someone that's worked in mentoring startups and businesses that are in early stage, there are still too many businesses that don't understand their numbers. You know, they'll try and sell a product by just thinking of a price that's cheaper than their competitor. And they don't go, is it actually worth my while to do this? And also they'll get excited about selling something to somebody without realizing they're actually making a loss whenever they're selling it. You know, and not enough people are prepared to let customers go when it's not viable, which you need to do because eventually you're going to go bust if you keep not making a profit on everything you sell. So I think, you know, in a more general sense, what you said is important as well. You're right. It's very important from a marketing strategy point of view, but it's actually really important from a business strategy point of view too.
Yeah, and we see it all the time. You know, small businesses will spend thousands on a new website. It'll be the prettiest website, but they won't consider what products are they going to take on there. You know, what's going to be the most prominent product and how are they going to sell it? Or, you know, we'll ask for creatives and they'll go off and create videos upon videos and you're like, right, but maybe this isn't the right product. You know, this product, maybe no one else can buy another product with it because it doesn't lend itself to buy more than one product. And people like to do the fun stuff, the creative stuff, because they feel like they're getting somewhere. But ultimately, it's the numbers that make, you know, a business successful or not.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're absolutely right. So we're coming to the end of our time here, Pip. How do you see things unfolding for you? I know that's a terrible question. Have you got a crystal ball and can you let us know what the future holds?
No, unfortunately, I don't have a crystal ball. I've left that home today. But I don't know. You know, the trends are obvious. You know, everyone is jumping online. And I personally hate Amazon. I personally hate marketplaces. Yes, I do use them as a customer. I hate myself for doing so. But I am trying to, as much as possible, get people and small businesses to champion their own brand, champion their own assets and their own data. Yes, some businesses are and do extremely well on platforms like Amazon. So I'm not knocking that. And there's plenty of businesses that thrive and survive because of that. But it doesn't sit comfortably with me that you're essentially handing the keys to your business to someone else who's got no interest in keeping your business going. Yeah. So for me, I want small businesses to move online, hopefully, you know, on their own platforms and slowly kind of take that step. I think if we do that, I'd like to think that the high street will survive as much of a geek as I am. And I enjoy tech. I do enjoy the high street, and hopefully we can find some sort of digital high street where, all shops are online. You can shop them online, or you can go and browse them and then go and shop them later. So you're not carrying all your bags. So I'd like to, hopefully find a balance between
everything. Yeah, no, do you know what? And you're absolutely right. I mean, one of the things, certainly in lockdown one of the things that I found really useful was my local independent shops. I couldn't get into the supermarket. You had a queue for 4 days to get in. Whereas the local shop, you could rock up, queue for 10 minutes, and they had everything that the supermarket had. But one of the things that you said, which strikes a chord with me, is in order to move away from this model of things like that Amazon have kind of dominated, is small businesses need to learn from that. Small independent businesses need to look at, why do people buy from Amazon? Yeah. Why won't they buy from me when they buy from Amazon? And that's because of convenience and all kinds of stuff. And now, you're not old enough to remember this, but I'm old enough to remember when independent shops used to deliver everything. Yeah, they used to have a boy on a bike with a basket at the front. Yeah, and they would deliver stuff, and a milkman would deliver milk and butter and cheese and orange juice. We used to have deliveries from independent shops.
We used to have Deliveroo back in the day.
Yeah, exactly. And then also we stopped that. And basically, Amazon's big thing is you can look at this online and we'll deliver it. And there's not really a lot stopping an independent shop doing that as well.
Exactly. And I think Amazon, to be honest, if they could have 1 million people on bikes delivering your product within like a couple of hours, they would go, if they could make it viable and scalable, that's what they would do. But, and this is what I liked with the first lockdown and what I saw with what we did with your local delivery, is that small businesses were able to keep the staff to go and do those deliveries. So instead of, Paul that, is stacking shelves in the day, he is now going out and doing all these deliveries. So therefore it was keeping people in their jobs with the same employer and keeping everyone busy and happy. So definitely. I let's go back to that.
Cool. Nice one. Pip, as always, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. If people want to find out more about Digital Beans and the kind of services that you're offering, what's the best way of doing that?
Just hit us up on the website, digitalbeans.agency. We're obviously on all the socials as well, Digital Beans UK on most of them.
Fantastic. We'll put those links on the radio website as well so people can find them. Thank you so much. Awesome. Keep on keeping on. We love what you're doing. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for joining us, Pip, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it.
Chris Philippias at Digital Beans. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Loch Associates Group can help you with your employment law, HR, health and well-being and mediation needs. People are our business. It's what we do every day. Find us online at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
That was the lovely Pip. Piperis Philippias of Digital Beans. Fantastic stuff that they're doing, trying to encourage more and more small businesses. I had a big row with some idiot on Twitter on Sunday night about this. Yeah. People just can't think their way out of a wet paper bag. You know, they were moaning about Amazon and how Amazon should be shut down and all the rest of it. You know, don't talk nonsense. You know, Amazon hired in the UK 30,000 extra people during the pandemic.
Wow, that is good.
That's 30,000 people had jobs that wouldn't have had. However, it doesn't stop small businesses from competing in their local market.
Okay, so what should they do?
And you've got to adopt technology the same as everybody else. Yeah. But as I said in the interview, it's going back to something we used to do 30, 40 years ago, which is home deliveries, convenience.
Yeah, the old butcher.
But even you don't have to deliver it. You know, I know some shops that have done this out of the goodness of their heart because they needed to for like people like my mum, old people. But, you know, if you know your local customers, why can't you go, look, don't worry about it. Tell us what you want and we'll bring it over.
Exactly. Well, I've been doing that all through. Yeah. I've got Staines Farm Shop. I mean, I'm lucky where I live, but the Good Shed.
Mm.
And a lot of the pubs are doing takeaway food now as well, you know, whole meals. Wheelers are doing a whole six-course thing that you just get delivered. We've got pizza deliveries, we've got fish and chip deliveries. But as you say, shopping as well.
Yeah. So, I think there's room for both. I think there's still room for independent businesses. It's just that, do you need expensive shops anymore? You know, that's the thing.
I think that small businesses could club together as well. Why can't they pay for one delivery driver between a few shops in the high street?
Exactly.
You know,
it's not, it exists. If you go to your local takeaway, Curry House or Chinese Takeaway, they've got someone there from Just Eat or Deliveroo on a bike or on a car that are picking up orders and delivering them.
Yeah, exactly. What I would say about Amazon is the packaging, and I think that the councils and Amazon need to get together.
Cardboard.
And not just that, all the stuff inside. So I've been, olives are good for you. We've mentioned them before. So they're friends of mine. They're normally at farmers markets, and so they've started delivering and posting and stuff. So I keep my Amazon packaging for them, and then they come and bring me my olives, and then they take my packaging away, which is great. Mm. But I do think we could do with some hubs to drop the packaging off, because all the plastic stuff inside and the bubble wrap that businesses are buying.
Yeah, just less cardboard, I think, is required.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you can put it onto a small business to use rather than buy
sure.
it,
sure.
Why not? But so we need a little hub to drop it off, like maybe a, I don't know, library, supermarket, something.
Mm.
Who? Where? What?
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay.
And drones, of course. But that's a whole nother show.
She's droning on again, listeners.
How much time have you got? But drone delivery, that's going to be the next. I don't fancy that.
Yeah, yeah.
They can look in your living room as they go by. Couldn't they?
Yeah,
they can
absolutely.
Just float over your garden.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Right, it's time to catch up with the FSB.
A bit close to the
drone.
No,
we're getting a bit close to the time.
Close to the drone.
No, we're close to the time. Yeah, and I've got things to do.
Go on then.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
Responding to the Prime Minister's statement in the House of Commons yesterday on the new tier system, Federation of Small Business South East Chair David Millam has said many small firms across Kent will be breathing a sigh of relief to hear that they'll be able to reopen their doors once again after the second national lockdown. However, many will continue to remain anxious as businesses await to discover what tier they will be placed in and the impact that they will have on their trading. These have been trying and difficult times for so many, and with the festive season upon us, it's never been more important to see trading resume once again. As a result of the COVID crisis, many are carrying excessive levels of debt and uncertainty into the new year. With a vaccine on the horizon, we'll be relying on a Christmas uplift to help them survive through the remainder of the pandemic and beyond. We're grateful for those that have held back their Christmas shopping until this moment to support their local shops, which means that for the small business sector, Christmas shopping can finally begin. For many small businesses, the next few weeks should be the busiest period of the entire year, but towns and high streets have seen footfall collapse, and it's vital that there's a clear path for recovery. So that's why, for whichever tier a small business is placed under, the government should match this with a strong proportionate level of support. The announced end of the 10 p.m. curfew will be welcome for those, especially in the food and drink sector, who traditionally would be seeing their profits soar over the Christmas period. It made no sense to close these safe, well-regulated environments and create crowds of people on the street and on public transport. Pubs and bars who have kitchens and Christmas menus to offer will also welcome these new rules, but those who predominantly serve drinks may well be forced to make difficult decisions about their futures without the right levels of support. Those pubs forced to serve takeaways and click and collect meals in the strongest tiers will be hard hit by these measures and will struggle to make it through to the new year. These firms in particular will need targeted government support. Hairdressers and salons too, who have worked hard to ensure they are COVID safe, will be pleased to be able to remain open and continue trading after what's been a tumultuous year for them. We know based on the evidence that these locations were not major transmission sites for the virus, so salons, barbers and hairdressers should be able to enjoy a strong December. Absolutely. But the problem is they announce the tiers and then they change them, and you just can't carry on like that. You really can't.
We still don't know what tier we're going to be in.
No, absolutely.
And this is the trouble. I'm kind of wondering about this, you know, you've got to have a meal with a drink for pubs, because why can't they just say, okay, maybe if you're having a soft drink, you can just have a soft drink? Because I know not everybody, but not everybody needs to drink.
But
if you want to go out,
but why does a roast dinner prevent you getting COVID? I don't understand. I just don't understand.
Well, they've obviously decided that when you drink lots, you mingle more. That's what it is, isn't it? When you have a few beers.
I know people that have had a few beers that don't mingle at all. Anyway.
They lie on their back and fart, you know. You can say that on air, it's fine.
No, you can't.
You can. No, you can't. It's a natural bodily function.
Is that right? FSB London and South East Economic Summit is taking place on Monday the 7th of December, 8:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. The summit will consider how can the local professional community help SMEs. You can find out more about it by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB and find the details there to book your place on the London and South East Economic Summit. And there's also Wednesday the 2nd of December, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m, growing into the export markets. We were talking about exporting to France earlier.
Yeah, we were.
Well, this is export markets in general. It's an FSB Southeast event. And again, you can book it by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. That's growing into export markets, taking place. It's a virtual event taking place on Wednesday the 2nd of December at 10 a.m. There's also FSB Folkestone Women in Business Brunch, virtual networking hosted by Wendy Flanagan on the 26th of November. All the details for all of these can be found in the same place. That's kentbusinessradio.co.uk, and click the FSB tab and you'll find them all there under FSB events.
Whatever your business strengths... Did you want
wait
to say
for
something?
It. I haven't finished.
Oh, sorry.
Wait for it.
Carry
I haven't
on.
Finished.
Yeah, if you're in full flow.
Yeah, yeah. There's FSB...
when you smacked your lips, I thought that was the
yeah,
end.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I breathed and you got in, didn't you? Maidstone Virtual Networking. Meet other businesses and expand your network at our next virtual FSB Connect event. It's organised by Peter Searle, and he's hosting this FSB Connect online event with Metro Bank on the 25th of November at 4 p.m. And again... Kent Business Radio for the details on the FSB tab. Now you can go.
Well, now I'm reading my Twitter now, because I'm just reading about the... It's a bit what you said, like what you said. Nobody can take this seriously when the government come up with ludicrous rules like the substantial meal. People need a scientific explanation as to why this will impede COVID, while a snack or not eating doesn't.
Yep.
So many of the rules are nonsensical, pointless and an exercise in power. And that's by a lady called Sue Dacey, D-A-C-E-Y.
She's absolutely right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
She's absolutely right. There's no logic in any of this. They've got no rationale for any of this. They're just Hancock's just gone mad. He's just bonkers. You know, if you want to stop the spread of the virus, that's one thing. Just inventing mad rules that have no logic is just, you're not going to take people with you.
You're not. They've got to have us behind them, and we're not. And on my Twitter, Paul Andrews, I just put out a petition for the hospitality sector to get a minister for hospitality in the government. So
do we need more ministers?
I don't know. We need one that knows about hospitality, perhaps.
Well, the problem is we have ministers for everything, but nothing actually ever gets done.
I know, they just follow around.
You know,
and they're on great big fat ministerial salaries.
Yeah, and they swan around going, oh, you know, you're all doing very well and, you know, oh, we love hospitality and all the rest of it, but they don't really do lots.
No, but maybe if there was a mover and a shaker who actually understood the hot, you know, maybe a chef who's run 58 restaurants.
If we ever got anybody in government that understood anything about running a business, we'd be home and dry. But seeing as we don't, we can't. It drives me nuts.
Don't forget there's the Maidstone Business Awards and the Ashford Business Awards. Sorry, you breathe. And you can go to www.businessawardskent.co.uk.
Fantastic. The Kent and Medway Business Summit is taking place on Friday the 15th of January. The summit will return for its fourth year with a clear focus on business resilience, renewal and strategy for a return to growth. Hosted annually at the University of Kent by the Kent Business School and its partners, the Federation of Small Business, the Institute of Directors and located in Kent, the Kent and Medway Business Summit brings together some 400 businesses and policymakers to debate key themes. Expert keynote speakers will cover topics on the economy and latest developments in Brexit. Workshops will deliver insights into the areas including productivity, infrastructure, placemaking and skills and offer the opportunity for businesses to have their say on developing strategy. In 2021, the summit will be hosted virtually using the exciting platform Remo, which offers unparalleled opportunities for networking and collaboration. Now, there are two places you can go to register for this. kenthospitality.kent.ac.uk/register is the main site. If you can't remember all of that, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/kentsummit, you will find all the details there. So kenthospitality.kent.ac.uk/register or kentbusinessradio.co.uk/kentsummit to find all the details, the speakers and a link to book your place.
The new heating hub portal launches today. They've built a micro version of how the domestic heating industry should work to save consumers thousands of pounds. You can get unbiased help managing your own boiler or heating installation, or let us do it for you with the pioneering Hero Support Service. You can go to theheatinghub.co.uk to find out more. I'm quite interested in heat pumps.
Yep.
And we need to get somebody on the show to tell me about heat pumps.
I've got one.
For your pool, is that?
I've got a heat pump for my swimming pool. It's broken at the moment.
Isn't that that little Chinesey thing that you
had? Yeah, but it's broken.
Okay. I thought a heat pump would be something bigger that you sort of plunged into the ground, like a big submarine type thing.
No.
Because you can power a whole house, can't you?
Well, you get different types of heat pumps, inverter heat pumps and all the rest of it, but basically they're just a reverse fridge.
I don't know what I've got powering my pool, but I'll have to look.
No, but you can have a heat pump to generate heat or electricity or whatever, and it just depends how big a heat pump you've got. What you're thinking about is ground heat, which is
I think that's what I meant.
A borehole.
I don't think I meant a borehole, but I thought, a heat pump, borehole. Yeah. I might ask Martin why he's doing all that, isn't he?
Yeah. So they've got a website with things like that on it, the Green Business Hub.
Well, now he's not playing golf. I might find him.
Yeah. No, but, you know, heat pump technology is well-known technology.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, the man to really ask is Bob Beattie on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, he's good, isn't he?
Yeah, that's his business, following up on what I was saying earlier about theatres, Martin from Charity Buddy said, we love the Marlowe Theatre as a family. That's the theatre in Canterbury. So glad it's getting help this year. The Christmas show has been postponed till next year. Yeah, I know. And then he says, being from Maidstone, as a kid, I loved the Hazlitt Theatre in Maidstone. I probably shouldn't admit this, but one year back in the 80s, Widow Twankey threw us kids some sweets and they were so rank, we all threw them back. He's gone, not proud.
They're probably from a couple of seasons before.
Yeah, we don't want these.
Well, they have.
Oh,
like...
yes, you do. Oh, no, we don't.
Whose tweet was that?
Martin Rees from Charity Buddy. Yeah. Brilliant.
I bet that's never happened before. Poor Widow Twankey.
Yeah.
That's probably Arthur Askey or someone.
What, in the 80s? Yeah.
Was it the 80s?
Yeah.
The next Marsh...
No, I'll tell you, that would have been what's his face from EastEnders?
Oh, yeah, one of the... Yeah. Dirty...
Not Dirty Dan.
Dirty
Sean.
Nick.
I can't remember what a character was. Now, Barry from EastEnders.
Oh, Barry, yeah.
Sean, whatever his name was. Williamson, Sean Williamson, who's the actor that played him. He did a lot of panto.
Well, we watched, I mean, I don't watch EastEnders anymore. I used to watch it in the days of Den and Angie. I thought it was great then. I hate it now. But I happened to watch it the other day. It was just on for 2 minutes. And what's his name? Thingy Bob Beale. Ian Beale, he's all old and grown up now, and he wears, you know, glasses and looks all sensible. And Gavin, I just looks, oh dear, you know, looks normal. The next Marsh Network Online is coming up. It's 10:30 a.m. on mañana, the 25th of November.
Is it tomorrow?
Yeah, and you'll find it on Zoom. Book now, and you can go to eventbrite.co.uk. I tell you what, just go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk and click on the link there and go to Marsh Network Online.
The South East Local Enterprise Partnership has got 66.8 million in funding for 25 projects on the Getting Building Fund list, and it's been approved by the South East LEP to start building back the local economy. You can see the list of Getting Building Fund projects by going to the following website, southeastlep.com/25 Getting Building Fund Projects. Let me give you that again. That's southeastlep.com/25 Getting Building Fund Projects. 66.8 million of funding on buildings.
And listen to the... Oh, I've read that one. Sorry, it's Biz Diaries, but I'll say it again. The businessdiaries.podbean.com. They've now had 3 mentions on this show today.
They have, yeah. quite right, too, because it's a fantastic thing they do.
Yeah.
Tracy Ferguson has said, I remember Digital Beans being on The Bunker Show and not long into the first lockdown with a fantastic initiative to support small retailers to transition into the digital marketplace to keep their businesses viable. Yes, they did. It was My Delivery, I think it was called, and they did e-commerce sites for small local businesses free of charge to help them get online, as you say.
Where I've read all mine.
Have you?
Yeah,
I've got
you
loads
just
left.
Carry on. I'll just sit and eat ginger.
Well, we've only got a couple. We've only got a couple of minutes left anyway. HMRC have issued a new proclamation. You can now claim. For periods starting November 1 under the Coronavirus Job Retention Scheme, which is now running until the end of March 2021 for all parts of the UK. You still need to submit all final claims for periods up to the 31st of October on or before the 30th of November. Make sure you have the latest information by joining the live Coronavirus Job Retention Scheme webinar, which includes who can claim, who you can claim for, how to calculate what you can claim, and how to make a claim for all the periods involved. We will continue to update our webinars to reflect the latest information as it becomes available. You can register for the webinars by going to register.gotowebinar.com/November HMRC. That's register.gotowebinar.com/November HMRC. I think we've kind of reached the end of another show, Jules.
Well, it's 14:58 by my book.
It is indeed 14:58 and 16 seconds.
And I tell you what, the roads are still quite quiet.
They are fairly quiet, which is quite good.
Even
it means you can get around okay.
Yeah, but it's been lovely to see you, and I'll see you next.
We had
Tuesday.
two fabulous shows today. If you didn't hear it earlier, Scoff and Quaff were two brilliant guests. Do catch up with that on the listen again. But I want to say a huge thank you to this week's guests, Pam Locke and Mike Eady from Locke Associates Group, talking about wellness and mental health in the workplace. Piperis Philippaeus at Digital Beans, talking about digital marketing and transitioning your small business to online and digital. I want to say a huge thank you to this week's show sponsors, Tenterton Chamber of Commerce, and do check out their Tenterton loyalty card. To the lovely folks at the Business Diaries, and do check out their podcasts and register on their Podbean site to get updates for that. And to Spinnerjet, the facilities management company. Thank you to all of you for supporting the show. Thank you to everybody that listened, tweeted and emailed. We'll be back with another show next week. Have a fantastic week, everybody. We'll see you all soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.